I do not know why I use the word escape. The villagers say jokingly that only a sick man would choose such a remote place to rebuild. Well then, I have come here to heal myself, if you like to put it that way. At night, when the wind roars and the child sleeps quietly in its wooden cot by the echoing chimneypiece, I light a lamp and walk about, thinking of my friends, of Justine and Nassim, of Melissa and Balthazar. I return link by link along the iron chains of memory to the city which we inhabited so briefly together. The city which used us as its flora, precipitated in us conflicts which were hers and which we mistook for our own. Beloved Alexandria. I have had to come so far away from it in order to understand it all. Living on this bare promontory, snatched every night from darkness by Arcturus, far from the lime-laden dust of those summer afternoons, I see at last that none of us is properly to be judged for what happened in the past. It is the city which should be judged, though we, its children, must pay the price. Capitally, what is this city of ours? What is resumed in the word Alexandria? In a flash, my mind's eye shows me a thousand dust-tormented streets. Flies and beggars own it today, and those who enjoy an intermediate existence between either. Five races, five languages, a dozen creeds, five fleets turning through their greasy reflections behind the harbor bar. But there are more than five sexes, and only Demotic Greek seems to distinguish among them. The sexual provender which lies to hand is staggering in its variety and profusion. You would never mistake it for a happy place. The symbolic lovers of the free Hellenic world are replaced here by something different, something subtly androgynous, inverted upon itself. The Orient cannot rejoice in the sweet anarchy of the body, for it has outstripped the body. I remember Nassim once saying, I think he was quoting, that Alexandria was the great winepress of love. Those who emerged from it were the sick men, the solitaries, the prophets. I mean all who have been deeply wounded in their sex. Notes for landscape tones. Long sequences of tempera. Light filtered through the essence of lemons. An air full of brick dust, sweet-smelling brick dust, and the odor of hot pavements slaked with water. Light damp clouds, earthbound yet seldom bringing rain. Upon this squirt dust red, dust green, chalk mauve, and watered crimson lake. In summer, the sea damp lightly varnished the air. Everything lay under a coat of gum. And then in autumn, the dry, palpitant air, harsh with static electricity, inflaming the body through its light clothing. The flesh coming alive, trying the bars of its prison. A drunken whore walks in a dark street at night, shedding snatches of song like petals. Was it in this that Antony heard the heart-numbing strains of the great music which persuaded him to surrender forever to the city he loved? The sulking bodies of the young begin to hunt for a fellow nakedness, and in those little cafes where Balthazar went so often with the old poet of the city, the boys stir uneasily at their backgammon under the petrol lamps. Disturbed by this dry desert wind, so unromantic, so unconfiding, stir and turn to watch every stranger. They struggle for breath, and in every summer kiss they can detect the taste of quicklime. I had to come here in order completely to rebuild this city in my brain. Melancholy provinces which the old man saw as full of the black ruins of his life. Clang of the trams shuddering in their metal veins as they pierce the iodine-coloured maidan of Maserita. Gold, phosphorus, magnesium paper. Here we so often met. There was a little coloured stall in summer with slices of watermelon and the vivid water ices she liked to eat. She would come a few minutes late, of course, fresh perhaps from some assignation in a darkened room from which I avert my mind. But so fresh, so young, the open petal of the mouth that fell upon mine like an unslaked summer. The man she had left might still be going over and over.